Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jeff Phelps, my partner today, Tom Withers, in for Andy Baskin. And we're talking extensively about what happened last night at Rocket Arena as the Cavaliers played a great game. They had great effort. They did a really nice job under really tough circumstances. Down 1-0, you lost game one at home. Indiana really had you in game one. You're down three key players, three of your top six guys last night, and you had that game won. Man.
Until you didn't. Jeff, you've been in Cleveland your whole life. Where does that loss rank? You put it with the shot? Like, it doesn't belong on that tier, does it?
No, but it was...
It was a bad one.
Well, the thing about it, Tom, that I thought was especially tough was I expected them to come out and answer the bell, to use a boxing little cliche there. I thought they would. I thought they'd come out and play really well, and they did. And I thought they would win the game. And I thought they had the game won. And then 8-0 run in 47 seconds.
Yeah.
And that took care of it. Indiana has done it before, but who scores eight points in 47 seconds? And heck, you didn't even have the ball. You know, they had to get the ball.
It was Murphy's Law, wasn't it? Everything that could go wrong did go wrong on the final stretch.
You said it earlier, Tom. You needed one thing in that 47 seconds to go your way, and not one of them did.
Yeah, it's still a head-scratcher on so many levels. And I know, you know, unfortunately, too, if they're unable to get it done, this is the one we're going to look back on, and it's going to, you know, listen, you mentioned Sam Presti before, who, you know, has done a great job at Oklahoma City. Kobe Altman deserves a lot of credit for the construction of this roster. He's done a really nice job of putting this together. You hate to think, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but you got to, like, at least
think about it
a little bit. I mean, how much things could change if, you know, you don't get beyond this round.
And, Tom, this is the league where they trade superstars every year. Every year, superstars get traded.
Yeah, and you had one of the biggest trades in the history of the game happen just this past season. So
in season.
Yeah, a lot can happen. So, I don't know, do you want to talk about getting a win in game three?
How do you do it? How do you win game three?
Well, you get everybody rested up and get all three guys back in.
No practice today. They're going to rest.
Yeah, we've talked about this. The Garland situation is the one that's a little bit... not mystifying. I mean, the guy is obviously hurt. As I mentioned before, I did see him running on the treadmill yesterday, which gave me encouragement to think that he was at least going to give it, you know, the old college try.
Yeah.
And obviously because he was unable to go, he was not, you know, he deemed himself unfit and unready and, you know, incapable of playing at the level that he needed to for them to beat the Indiana Pacers. Now you hope two more days rest does the trick, right? And you get him out there. And I think they're in an entirely different situation with Darius back. I'm not counting on Mobley being back only because ankles are ankles. Hunter, I think, will probably be able to give it a go at some point here.
With what might be a really taped up.
Exactly. Hand. Which I thought we would see last night. I thought they would just, you know, basically put a glove on him and send him out there. But
and Tom, he could help you defensively if he can't hit his three.
100%. So then, you know, then it becomes, you know, I mean, it's easy if you get one or two of those guys back, right? Not easy, but obviously a lot more doable.
There's a better path, certainly.
Right, yeah. Right. So now then you're going to have to count on the Pacers not playing the kind of game that they're capable of playing at home, which is like to another level,
you mean
right?
Like they played last night.
Like, yeah.
That they did not look like the same team until fourth quarter, really.
No, you're right.
That they look like in game one.
You're right. And you know what? And this goes back to, I mean, they came into the series battle-tested, right? They played a very tough five games against an undermanned Milwaukee team.
And think about last year. They beat Milwaukee and they beat New York.
New York, yeah. And I think a lot of people forgot that this was a team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? I mean, I think your casual NBA fan tends to forget that as you get into the series. I don't think it's helped, you know, the narrative or the mindset of Cleveland fans that the Cavs have been heavy favorites in games one and two. I still couldn't figure that out. 8.5 and 9-point favorites by the Vegas lines. And yeah. I don't usually...
Last night made no sense.
I don't necessarily put too much stock into it, but it's a little bit puzzling. So, you know, I think if you're Kenny Atkinson, you take a look at, you know, what are my options? Okay, if I don't have those three guys again, it's to what we talked about earlier, which is that to get Jared Allen some more touches in any way you can. It's to get Ty Jerome's confidence back, and I don't know if that's now leaving him in the starting lineup, which I would hesitate to do given what he did in game two, or have him come back off the bench again, which is his natural role.
He thrived in.
He thrived in. That was a nice point that Spiro made before, which is that, you know, guys are used to that role, and suddenly if they're in a different end of the pool in the playoffs, doesn't necessarily equate to good performances.
I think, as we know, there are a lot of different ways to win a basketball game. And, you know, we've seen the Cavs in the past, LeBron and whoever, and LeBron carries you there. Donovan certainly carried the Cavs last night. I don't think the recipe to win game three is to have Donovan Mitchell take 30 shots and have to score 48 points. But if the other guys aren't in there, I don't know a whole lot better recipe, because you had Max Strus score 23 last night. Max was outstanding. And Jared Allen, though he didn't take... I mean, Jared scored 22 points on 9 shots and got to the free throw line 8 times and made them all. You know, I don't think you can get a better game out of Jared unless you give him the ball a significantly more amount of time.
Or Max, like you said. This is where I think...
Right, you're not going to get a better game out of Max. He was great.
This is where it comes down to me to Wade and Merrill.
Yes.
Both needing to kind of even go to another level, right?
And Sam had 14 last night. He was okay coming off the
bench. No, he was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but Dean Wade can get hot and knock down some shots.
If
Ty Jerome, if Ty clearly doesn't have it early, well, yank him. I mean, you've reached the point now where you're going to have to do some things. And if that means bringing everybody's favorite, and I understand why, because he plays hard, Craig Porter Jr. Everybody loves that kid.
Yeah.
Well, he's helped you at times this year. And, Tom, so I would think Kenny has to coach the you-know-what out of this game tomorrow night. And, you know, feelings be damned. If, you know, I'm trying to work on Ty's confidence. Yeah, well, what I'm trying to do is get back in the series.
Right.
And so whatever it takes, you got to do.
And what scares me is that this Pacers team, you saw it in games one and two, they smell when blood is in the water.
Oh, man.
And it is clearly there now. So, you know, they're going to come out with an aggressive mindset to step on Cleveland's throat in game three. And that's worrisome, because I don't know how you counter that. And if they get that momentum going at home, it's going to be tough to stop them.
Don't they look unfazed when things don't go well in the game?
Their guys have a certain swag slash character about them that I really like.
They believe in what they're doing.
They totally do, and they know that their system makes other teams uncomfortable, and yeah. I feel like they know that when they unleash that on you and they get you out of your game, they got you.
In game one, and I remembered this specifically because of the 50 shots for Ty and yeah. for Donovan, no Pacer took more than 15 shots in game one. And last night, no Pacer yeah. took more than 17 shots. Yeah. And five guys took double-digit shots.
Yeah.
So they move it. Their starters, all five of them, have scored in double figures in both games.
And I think
that's tough.
And I think we have sorely overlooked Nembhard for a couple of years now. That kid
good
is
young
a
player. Yeah.
God, and he's confident, and he shoots it well, and he drives it well, and he plays defense well. Really unsung player.
I continue to think, guys, the other one is you got to get Miles Turner in foul trouble. I want to see
You want to see Thomas Bryant have to play big man?
I want to see Thomas Bryant out there due to the fact that I don't think Thomas Bryant can hang with what the Cavs want to do.
So that's getting Jared Allen the ball, right? And making Turner
and making
defend
Turner
him.
Defender.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe look to that next evolution. I mean, we've seen in the past Jared Allen's ability to finish over both shoulders. Maybe that's something you got to look into a little bit. And I'm not saying go full-blown New York Knicks, let's slow this thing down to the, you know,
I got you.
To 90s ball. But like every so often, let's dump that in and see how this could work out and maybe move him into more of a Evan Mobley-type role inside of the offense.
One thing I think that we need to see tomorrow night, on Friday night, I know last game last night, dire circumstances because three key guys were out. And I don't have a problem with Donovan shooting the ball 30 times last night. However, I thought the offense was really stagnant for most of the night. A lot of it was give the ball to Donovan. Yeah. And let him drive to the basket and get fouled. He went to the free throw line 21 times. And it was, please bail us out. Well, you have guys who can hit shots. Tom, you mentioned Dean Wade. You mentioned Sam Merrill. Run the offense a little bit more. I'll understand if you have to play hero ball with Donovan. But it will still help him if you run the offense a little bit more than you ran it last night.
But when you don't have a true point guard out there.
Well, that's where maybe you play Craig Porter.
Well,
I didn't think that was the plan for last night. But Ty Jerome can play point.
Yeah,
but didn't look very good doing it last night. He had four assists last night.
Right,
and when you're one of 14, you better be doing something else right. And it wasn't necessarily facilitating the offense.
And I know people were screaming about him being on the floor, you know, in the final minute, just because things had obviously gone south much mm-hmm. earlier than that. But, you know, when you're Atkinson, you're thinking, okay, I need a ball handler in here. I need somebody that can shoot some free throws. I got to trust my guy. He's been there for me all year. I got to get him some confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need him.
Yeah. So that's a tough one for Kenny. And you know what? And in fairness to Kenny, like he was the first one that brought that up post game last night that he probably should have gotten, you know, more out of his bench.
One thing that, whether you like the plus-minus stat or not, and anytime I talk plus-minus, we always throw that out as, if you like it, well, last night, and the plus-minus means what happened while you were on the floor. What was the score? Did you outscore the other team? Whatever. Donovan Mitchell had a +13. No other Cav was more than a +5. That was Dean Wade.
Yeah.
A +4 coming off the bench was Javonte Green, who I mentioned yesterday. But Donovan played 36 minutes. In the other 12 minutes, when he was off the floor, the Cavs were outscored by 14 points.
I normally don't put a ton of stock.
I don't either, but Tom, that's
plus
pretty.
But that one jumps out at you. I would agree with you there, Jeff. You know, because you never factor who else is on the floor with you with that plus minus, right? Which is can be a little bit skewed. So, you know, all year we talked to Kenny about, okay, how deep is this rotation? How deep can you go once you get into May? And obviously, you know, he's in a situation now where it's almost desperation. You know, people have mentioned Jalen Tyson. Like, should he get a shot? I mean, dangerous to put a rookie in this situation, but maybe you got to roll the dice a little bit with him. At least give him a couple minutes.
It's almost one of those things where if it's not working the way you've planned, all right, give a guy 3 or 4 minutes. Can you get somebody in there?
Give him an at bat. Give him a swing.
Rises to the occasion.
Yeah.
How do they win it in game three, folks? How do they win the series? It's Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers in for Andy today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Withers is in for Andy today. Dan Minigan flying our ship and Meredith taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. This one aspect of this that I can't stand. People don't like excuses. This is not an excuse. This is a fact. Your all-star point guard has missed the first two games of this series. After missing two games against Miami that didn't matter because for some reason after the Heat lost game two in Cleveland, they decided to phone it in the rest of the way. I don't understand that one still, because that's not typical Miami. But
it seems like a lifetime ago, by the way, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it does. It's like, man, the Cavs are just phenomenal. Ugh. Okay, well, now they've lost two straight, and people are screaming. It's only reality to know that people are going to say, yes, but the Cavs were missing Darius for both of the first two games and then two other key guys for game two. And if they can't play in game three, Tom, that's going to be the story of this entire series.
Yeah, but...
I'm hard to press to think anything other than, well, yeah, because that might be the story of the series. A healthy Cavs team against Indiana. Different series, you would think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I expected this to be. I had Cleveland in seven. I picked the Cavs in seven because I thought,
I said six or seven.
Yes, because
I was wishy-washy.
My feeling was that it was going to be tough for Indiana to. I say this now, it was going to be tough for Indiana to win here twice. And they already have. Now listen, we didn't know that there'd be two All-Stars and DeAndre Hunter on the bench. So, that was a yeah, but game last night, wasn't it? Like I said to you earlier, excusable and then inexcusable. 47 great minutes, 47 hellish seconds.
They were really good.
Yeah.
For almost the entire game. But the less than a minute that they weren't cost them a victory that they had to have, Tom. I mean, Indiana does not have to win another road game. In fact, they can lose a home game and win this series.
No, and it felt like down the, especially in the third quarter, I think the Pacers sensed like, hey, this is still for the taking. Like this team can't, I mean,
And it was weird because when the Cavs went up by 20 to start the third quarter,
yeah,
you thought, okay,
yeah,
this looks pretty good here.
Yeah.
But Indy never went away.
No, they didn't. And we talked about it, that swing that went from like 8 to 13, back to 8 to 6 to 4,
yep,
back to 9. Like they couldn't put him away. And,
and even though they kept bouncing it back to 9, back to 12, boom, boom, here's it. Now it's 6,
And not only do the Pacers make shots, they make big shots, don't they? Yeah. Like there's times where they take threes where you're like, ah, no chance. And, Obi Toppin knocks one down, or Naismith knocks one down, or Nembhard, who I've fallen in love with in a weird way over the last couple of games. That kid can really play. So, yeah, it was a gut punch. It's a tough one to take. It's why, I've been getting texts since last night and from friends and fans. It was a tough one. It's a hard one to shake. Cavs are going to have to do it quickly, and I think they will.
It's interesting because take a look at the Indiana team and the way they've been put together. They brought in key guys from other organizations. Siakam coming in from Toronto was a big deal. Haliburton coming in from Sacramento, and I remember when they made that trade. I liked Haliburton when he came out of school at Iowa State, if I'm not mistaken, and went to Sacramento. I thought, I like this young guy. But I love Domantas Sabonis.
Cosign.
What a great player, man.
Me and you both. Loved his dad, too.
Yep, and they trade Sabonis to get Haliburton. Well, that worked, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a head scratcher at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, that worked. It was that was a big time move. Mike's driving around in his car. Mike, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, at what point does Atkins look at these guys in the face and say, it's time to put your big boy pants on, we're in the playoffs, suck these some of these injuries up and get on the court? I mean, Darius Garland's been out almost a month with a toe injury. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, now you got Evan Mobley out with the – we watched a player here for years get injured several times, wrap it up, and he was back on the court. And I can't even stand the guy, but I got to give him credit, and that's LeBron James. We watch other players on other teams suck up injuries and play. This is the playoffs. If you don't win, your season is over. There is not 82 other games to play. When does he look at these players and say, let's go?
Mike, that's a question that I know you're not alone in asking. Tom, we both know that I think if Evan Mobley could have helped his team last night, he would have been out on the floor.
Undoubtedly.
If DeAndre Hunter could have gripped a basketball, he would have been out on the floor.
Unquestionably.
And same thing with Darius and his toe. That said, I understand Mike's sentiment.
I do too. This is a real tough one.
You know,
it's one I always struggled with as a reporter over the years, is trying to find out details on a player's injury. Now, obviously, HIPAA rules, et cetera, prevent you from finding out exactly what's going on with a lot of guys. And then sometimes you would know the truth and you couldn't report it for that very reason.
Correct.
Given the Cavs situation over the last couple of years with injuries in the playoffs in particular, I almost feel as if Darius should almost talk to the media himself to explain what's going on with the toe, because toe injuries are tough. I mean, especially when you're a point guard in the NBA, it's almost like when you talked about, you know, this is not a comparable or a parallel, but you know, Deshaun Watson and that shoulder injury. Well, that shoulder injury doesn't bother you unless you're an NFL quarterback and you have to perform.
Yeah.
And so Darius has to go out there and perform at a high level. And you can't all of a sudden say, yeah, I'm good to go, and then be out there for 2 minutes and then you're done. So listen, I know where Mike was coming from. It's frustrating. You know, you hear about guys like, you know, Kevin McHale played an entire playoffs with the Celtics with a broken foot. Well, he can't walk anymore either. And that's not to say that Darius would turn this into some kind of life-threatening injury either. But, yeah, it's tough. I get it. I know where fans are coming from. And you're right. I mean, LeBron was able to, you know, fight through a lot of tough things. But LeBron is also one of one.
I've never seen a more superhuman guy when it comes to fighting through stuff like that. And you had complete vision on all of this. I did too. And the amount of work and this is not to say that these guys don't work or anybody in the NBA doesn't work now.
No.
The amount of
different.
Work LeBron
Insane.
Put into his body.
Insane.
It was incredible.
It really is.
I've never seen anybody do that ever.
Literally superhuman.
Yeah. And before games, if you walked into the Cavs locker room before a game, without fail, there was LeBron laying on the floor with his trainer, Mike Mancius, and
bending him into positions you didn't know.
He turned him into a pretzel. I mean, think about the sitcoms you used to see where a guy would go in to get a massage, and here comes Igor to give him a massage. Now, Mike's not that big and strong, but Mike's taking him like Igor, you know, did anybody in a sitcom. Here, let me grab that leg. Ugh! And LeBron would go through that for what, Tom? Half an hour, 45 minutes on the floor, getting stretched out every which way. And combine that with gifts from God and an incredible work ethic. And that's why LeBron was able to play a lot. But take a look at, and I don't think people understand this, take a look at LeBron's games played throughout his career. If LeBron... He's missed more games than you'd ever expect.
You're right about that.
Especially
over the last few years.
Right.
Yeah,
if he hadn't, oh my God, you'd never touch his scoring records. You'd never touch any of his records.
No, that's true.
But I think Mike was right about that. Well, as a guy who would play through a lot of things and be able and people need to understand this, I think, Tom, be able to play through something like that. There's a difference.
That's very true. Yeah,
between wanting to and being able to.
Yeah. Same with being injured and being hurt.
Right.
And, you know, Mike brought it up right away, like Kenny Atkinson has to tell these guys whatever. I guarantee you that there's been some very difficult conversations over the last few days with all three of those guys, right? And to your point, I mean, Hunter can't go out there with – you're going to go out there with one hand and guard Nemhard
and it's your ball hand.
Yeah. You know, you can't hockey shift these guys. They can't come out – you know, you can't go offense for defense.
And you can't really
necessarily
take your thumb to the – you know.
Dislocated thumb is a bad one. Ankle injuries are ankle injuries. You know, it was unfortunate he came down on his foot. That happens in basketball. It happens more times than
every game
than we realize. Yeah.
Every game. The severity of them is what varies.
And obviously Garland is dealing with a severe situation with his toe. I mean, I know it sounds like just a toe, but it's a toe.
And
he's got to run. He's got to cut.
Key toe.
Yeah.
Mark is in Cleveland. Hey, Mark, welcome.
Hi. I wanted to talk about this whole thing with the injuries and the guys playing. First of all, the injury to the thumb was downgraded from a dislocation to a sprain. I don't know if you guys know that. I heard that yesterday. And another thing is, if you have Cleveland Clinic doctors telling these guys, determining whether these guys are safe enough for them to go play, if you have a hangnail, they're going to tell you to stay on the bench. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
All right, Mark, thank you very much.
A dislocation is a sprain. I've learned more about medical injuries over the years in my, we were talking about it off the air. You know, all of us have dealt with a sprained toe at some point. I didn't realize the severity of plantar fasciitis, which was the injury du jour for a bunch of years until I had it.
I got to sit out tonight.
I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
Like almost for months. It was awful. The pain was like intolerable. And I know people that are out there that have dealt with it know what I'm talking about. So again, I'm going to give Darius Garland the benefit of the doubt on this for a lot of reasons.
Here's the thing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Have you ever met a professional athlete
that didn't want to play?
Who didn't want to be on the floor, on the field for a playoff game?
Particularly Darius Garland, right, who's trying to change the narrative that has haunted him for the last year, right? Here's a guy that went out last year. And oh, by the way, if we're going to talk, I'm going to sit here and defend Darius for a second. He went out there last year in the playoffs and gave what he could after coming off of a broken jaw.
And being down about 20 pounds.
That he couldn't eat and was probably suffering from some kind of PTSD while he was out there in the playoffs. And gave you everything that he could. And now suddenly we're going to second guess him on that. So, excuse me for getting on a soapbox here for Darius Garland. But I believe in the kid. And I believe if he could play, he would be out there.
Never met a pro athlete who did not want to be on the floor, on the field, especially in a playoff game. It's Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers in for Andy today.